Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a podcast with dirt on its face and soap on its mind. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, Dances with Wolves, an epic motion picture starring Kevin Costner. We'll learn more as soon as the theme music is done. This is a big movie. It's big in scope, and it's big in actual size, time. The original version, I think, was about 3 hours, and the version I got to watch was almost four, I think. And maybe that was cheating, because, of course, I'm watching the Oscar winners, and if I watched a director's cut that's bigger, well, you know, that's what's available. And, I think that's still valid, because if that's what you're going to end up watching, that's what I watched. I have mixed feelings about this one. Number one, it is one of the first movies probably ever. I don't want to say ever, but it was the first really big movie of its era, let's say, to treat the Native American with a measure of respect. It's a Western, and it's set in the frontier in the 1800s, around the time of the Civil War. But it's really about the and it stars Kevin Costner. But it's really about the Indians more than anything else, the Native Americans. I think that it's a really fascinating movie from that standpoint. Whether or not it's a great movie on its own, let me say this. It's got a good movie inside it. It's even the non-director's cut, and I did see this years ago when it was in the theaters, is a little long. And the director's cut, I don't want to say that's a little longer, although it is physically longer. I think that the director's cut probably felt just about the same, if I remember right, overlong as the original version. So I don't want to say that adding stuff into the director's cut made the movie worse, which is sometimes the case, but it didn't do anything to help the parts that maybe shouldn't have been there in the first place. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on in this. Kevin Costner starts off as Lieutenant John Dunbar, and he is a Union soldier, and he learns that he's going to get his foot amputated because it's injured. And back then, the cure for everything was pretty much amputation. And so they're going to cut his foot off, and they've got him in a field hospital, and they're just going crazy with the saws. And the guys who are going to cut his foot off decide to go out for coffee, before tackling the big job. And he gets himself out of bed and hops on a horse and basically tries to commit suicide. He just kind of rides at the Confederates, who are on the other side of the field where he's stationed, and rides at them, and they start shooting at him. And you know, in one of the more miraculous examples of bad aim, even though they're all shooting at him at the same time, they don't hit him, and perhaps even more miraculously, they don't hit the horse, which is an even bigger target. You'd think somebody at some point would have just said, I'm shooting the horse. The horse goes down, then I'm going to take the dude out because I'm not running around at, 25 miles an hour. But so they managed to miss everything. Probably, if that's the example of how they shot, that's why they lost the war, among other reasons. And while they're busy shooting and missing Kevin Costner's character, the rest of the Union guys kind of storm them and kick their butts. So, although Kevin Costner is his character is trying to commit suicide, his commanding officer finds him laying there at the end, mostly uninjured, and he says, oh, we got somebody who's worth something here. We're going to save this guy's leg. So apparently medical technology only applies to you at the time if your commanding officer says it does. So these are nitpicks, but it kind of gets the movie in motion, and for helping them win the battle, they give him not a psychologist, but a chance to pick whatever post he'd like to go to. And he says, hey, the Western frontier, I want to see it before it's gone. And they give him the horse, too. So they send him on his way, and he shows up at this fort out in Sioux country, and he's the only one there. The rest of the guys who are there, for reasons unknown, have hinted at, because we get to see them leave, which is one of the probably pointless bits in the movie. They're gone by the time he gets there. They didn't pass him on the way. So I don't know, you know, where those guys went, because you'd assume that there's probably one main trail that leads between the forts, but they managed to miss each other. And he gets there and he's by himself, and the guy he's riding with, he says, you go back. I'm just going to stay here. I'm in charge here now, you know, until somebody higher ranked shows up. And he's living by himself. And of course, he runs into the Indians. And that is where our story really starts to take off. Now, of course, as we've seen in probably a dozen movies I could name if I really wanted to get into it, he learns a lot about their culture and discovers that they're not savages and actually begins to respect them. And, this has been done numerous times in the past, before and since. That doesn't make it a bad movie. It's certainly a culture that hasn't, at least at the time, hadn't really been addressed very much at all. And so it's pretty cool because we get to go along for the ride as he's learning about them. Now, my nitpicks with this film is there are parts just like the... having to watch the guys decide to leave the fort, it doesn't really matter for the narrative. You've got a movie that's 4 hours long to start with, okay? Or to end with, because it's the director's cut. So I guess they ended with a movie that's 4 hours long. As a writer, and I'm a writer in my day job, sometimes you have to cut parts out that you like. And this is a movie, especially in the first half, that I think there's a lot of spots that they could have trimmed. And there's a couple of things at the end where it's just, they're the kind of things that, let me put it this way. I've never directed a movie, so am I one to talk? No. But you think that Kevin Costner is the director. He was a first-time director, and, he maybe just kind of got married to some of these ideas that the writer wrote, but... you'd think that somebody like Martin Scorsese would say, you know what, we can streamline this and we're going to make a better movie because of it. And Kevin Costner didn't make that decision. I'm not blaming him, but, there it is. So there's parts where it just kind of drags out. But the height of this movie and the best part and what Costner and the writer deserve a lot of credit for, and the actors, because it's got a great cast. All the way around. Now, Costner, he's pretty much playing Costner, vintage early 90s Costner. He's affable. He's likable. He bumps his head. He's obviously, at least at the time, he wasn't a guy who was taking himself super seriously, even though he had a ton of success, which is the kind of the thing that people like to watch in him at that time. But in addition to that, you've got Graham Greene as one of the Native Americans. You've got Mary McDonnell as the white woman who's been raised in the Sioux tribe. You've got Rodney Grant, who is he's kind of the counterpart to Graham Greene. Graham Greene's character is the thinker, and Rodney Grant is kind of the active, kind of angry guy who does end up becoming friends, of course. Kevin Costner's character. You've got a great, great cast going on here. And the Native American characters are never portrayed as caricatures of themselves. They're all individuals. They're all absolutely, I can't speak to reality, but they feel like real people, and they all have kind of different takes, and they're funny, and they're interesting, and there's a lot of depth when you get into the Native American group in this film. So that's really fascinating to watch, and it is a good movie because of that. You know, it makes its political statement, and it's very politically correct. And I don't really have a problem with that, because it is something that was important to say. But, you know, you can kind of see that stuff coming in the narrative. That's just the way it is. But it is a good film, and it is enjoyable to watch. You just got to make sure you can block out some time, because, like I say, the director's cut, I'm looking at it here, 236 minutes, according to Wikipedia. That's a long movie. That's a big movie. Might want to watch it in two doses. And, you know, there is a handy break in the middle of it. So intermission. So that works out fine. I'm going to give this one a rent it, just because I don't think you're going to probably sit around and watch it a lot of times. But it is definitely worth checking out, and I would recommend it to pretty much anybody. It's worth seeing at least once. It's a good film, and it has something good to say, even if it's a bit long. Next week we've got... Well, we've got... I just had it here, too. That's the sad part. Silence of the Lambs! That's it. Silence of the Lambs. And this is a... Really a movie that's not the kind of a movie that you think would normally get an Oscar. So we're going to review it almost 20 years after the fact and see what we think of it today and how it holds up. Until then, until next week, I am Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.